I'm Lillian Vasquez, and this is Inland Edition. Shortly after the start of the coronavirus pandemic, a large portion of America's workforce found themselves not working or working from home. In many cases, we were also working with our kids in online school lessons, and sometimes helping our parents and neighbors, our siblings, or adult children. Needless to say, sleep schedules for many of us changed. A lot. So today on Inland Edition, we're talking about sleep, its importance, and some of the challenges we face when it comes to sleeping. We've invited Dr. Patrick Porter to share some of what he knows about sleep and how to get it. Dr. Porter is a neuroscience expert and the founder of BrainTap. Thanks for joining us on Inland Edition.
Great to be here, Lillian.
So in this chaotic and uncertain time, sleeping for many can be a challenge. Maybe those people that aren't getting enough exercise or those who can't shut off their brain to get a good night's sleep. How can one sleep when there's so much anxiety and unrest regarding unemployment or not working, bills piling up? What do you recommend?
Well, the first thing is they need to have a sleep routine. Some people call it sleep hygiene, where you actually start shutting off the lights at least 2 hours before bedtime, because the light, any color light, it could be even dim light beside your bed, can affect some people. About 20% of the people have light sensitivity before sleep. There's some other things we can do, too, if we want to go deeper into that.
Sure, go a little deeper. We have time.
Okay, so one thing they can do is make sure they're not doing anything stressful at least 2 hours before bed. That means no movies that are, military movies that have zombies or anything like that. In fact, they should be perhaps not even watching television up to that time. Maybe they could listen to something if they choose, maybe even relaxing music. News should be listened to a little earlier. We all need to be informed of what's going on, but sometimes some people get consumed by the news instead of consuming it. There's a fine line there. If people, you need to be able to take advantage of what you're hearing, but not let it upset you. You should never balance your checkbook, anything like that, right before bed. Also, if you can keep your bedroom as dark as possible, as weird as it sounds, even the light from your phone can keep someone up, because every time you get a micro notification, you should put on sleep mode at night, or even better yet, airplane mode, because every time you get a signal, we've shown in the lab that if you are sleeping beside your phone, even if it's 4 feet away, your brain still registers that incoming notification. It's kind of like a new mother who has a child that cries 3 doors down in the home. They spring out of bed because their reticular activating system, that part of the brain, is alert to that signal, the child's crying. But in this case, it's the phone. And we all have a little addiction to our phone at this time. If we get a little notification, want to see who is it, what's going on. And that has to do with our dopamine receptors, wanting to, get that satisfaction. We get curious from the ding, but then we want to know what it is.
Right. With regards to the coronavirus and the impact of isolation and quarantine, so many people that are doing that, has sleep been affected in this period?
Oh, yes, totally. There's something in psychology called the infinite now. And usually that hits people who are in isolation, but they're usually in prison situations or being held hostage. Not that we're being imprisoned or held hostage, but the brain doesn't know that we're not able to do all the things we used to be able to do. It used to be we could go to the grocery store, we could do all the things, go over and visit our neighbors and all of that without any worry. Now, in the back of our minds, there's a worry that there's a contagion maybe. We don't know who was there before us, who touched the cart. All of those things cause what's called a beta response in our reticular activator, that part of our default mode network in our brain. And so we have to be aware of that, and it's going to upset how we sleep and the rhythms. The other side effect is, unfortunately, alcohol sales is up over 200%. Some people say up to 400%, depending upon where they're living. And people are drinking right before bed, and you really shouldn't drink alcohol at least 3 or 4 hours before sleep in any excess. I mean, if you have a glass of wine with dinner or something, that's not a big deal, or a beer, something like that. But when you start, pounding, a six-pack or something like that, that's going to affect the way you sleep. Also, people watching television in late hours, they now, because they don't have to report for work at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock, their sleep schedule is all off, and they go, well, I can just watch that one more show. And that one more show is going to throw off their circadian rhythm, and they're not going to release the melatonin that they need. Sleep is so important. If we don't reach that level 4 sleep, your brain doesn't detox, and that's really key. American Scientific Magazine in 2016 actually came out with an article that showed we have lymphoma pathways in our brain that work like the lymphatic system in our body, and they only open up during level 4 sleep. So if our listeners have ever woke up at night and they had sleep paralysis, they actually woke up in the middle of one of these cleaning cycles for the brain. I tell people it's like if you went back in time to Henry Ford and they're on the assembly line for the Model Ts, when they had to clean that assembly line, they shut down the line. The workers went on break. They cleaned it. Then they went back to work. That's kind of the way the nervous system works in the brain. Hmm. And the brain is actually 70% of our nervous system. So when you think about not sleeping well or keeping yourself up too late, our brain loves patterns. And all of those patterns, because of COVID, have been upset. Nobody is really, I mean, unless you're living on a desert island somewhere, you're being affected by this on a daily basis. It's affecting everything that we do. So that's putting another layer of complexity into our daily life that wasn't there before COVID.
Now, I was going to ask, why is sleep so important? You kind of laid it out there, but there are some people who can get by on sleep of 5 hours and function just fine. And then there's others that they must have at least 8 to function well. Why is that the case?
It's really the case of not the length of time of sleep. It's really about the depth of sleep. Now we have all these gadgets. We can wear watches. We can have monitors on our bed. If we can get 1 hour of deep sleep, now that's not 1 hour straight. It's usually broke up into 5 to 7 periods of time where you get this level 4 sleep. And then if we can get 2.5 hours spread out through the night of REM sleep, then we're going to do it. Just some people are able to do that in 5 hours. The military says we need at least 4 hours when in combat. But the reality is that most people need 7 to 8 hours. 100 years ago, if we were having this conversation, the average person was sleeping 12 hours a day.
Wow.
We didn't have lights all day. So when they said burning the candle at both ends, they literally meant burning the candle at both ends. Huh. In the 80s, it went to 8 hours. In the 90s, it went to 7. Now the average person sleeps less than 6 hours a night. 2/3 of America is having trouble sleeping right now. And that was before COVID. So who knows? I mean, it might be even higher than that.
Let me reintroduce my guest is Dr. Patrick Porter. He's a neuroscience expert. Today, our focus is on sleep and our sleeping patterns. What are some tips you recommend for getting better sleep? You did mention that you not have things going on 2 hours at least before you're getting ready to fall asleep, and then you get in bed and you just toss and turn.
What you do is you have to prepare yourself. They call it sleep hygiene. So some people will take a relaxing bath. Your core temperature has to drop at least 2 degrees to get a really good night's sleep. So the problem is most people are on their iPhones or their iPads or their tablets or whatever it is. And then they turn them off, they go right to sleep. And they might even wake up 2 or 3 hours later because they didn't get into the rhythm. Everything is rhythmic in the brain. We go through these cycles of sleep. And the real importance of sleep is to go through each of these different rhythms because it triggers neurotransmitters in the brain. And think of it like a bank account. If we sleep well at night, it feels like we've got, basically, we've been given superpowers. If we didn't, it feels like somebody put kryptonite in our pocket. So the key is to get those. So when you go to sleep at night, figure out a pattern that works for you. Some people, a warm bath works because that will lower your core temperature. Some people will drink some water, some warm tea, something like that that starts to mellow them out. Listen to some relaxing music. Those are things you can do. The main thing we find is that when you start settling down and turning off the lights in your home, which I mentioned before, it signals to the brain, that part of that region of the brain around the pituitary pineal gland, and says, hey, we're going to start to sleep now. And then it starts the cycle that creates the melatonin that puts us into that deep sleep through our circadian rhythm. So we need to have a plan. And that's one of the things COVID did to us, was it disrupted our natural pattern. I recommend people sleep better. If you were used to going to sleep at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, or even 12 o'clock at night during your time when you were driving into the office or working in the wherever you work, mm-hmm. you should go back to that as soon as possible. You should also wake up at that same time, just as if you're going back to work tomorrow, because it's going to be that much more difficult when it's time to go back to work if you haven't already started that program. And the brain, again, loves patterns. So if we start patterns that do it, you can also do some breathing exercises. So when you're in bed and you're not sleeping, rest is just as important. So with your eyes closed, you can breathe in to the mental count of, let's say, four to eight, and then breathe out twice as long. And what you'll find, it's not like counting sleep, but you're just regulating your nervous system. This triggers your heart to slow down. There's something called heart coherency. And if your heart and brain are not communicating, most people don't know you have 40,000 neutrino cells in your heart. which means your brain also is present in your heart. And if your heart and brain aren't communicating correctly because maybe you drank too much, you ate the wrong foods, you just got in an argument or fight, you know, whatever's going on that agitated you, that means that signal. And your heart actually sends twice as many signals to your brain as your brain does to your heart. So if you can get kind of heart-centered before you go to sleep, and a lot of times what really works for people, and it works for me, is to just become grateful. And if you can't think of anything to be grateful about, just be grateful that you're there and you have hands and feet and legs and arms and whatever. The power of gratitude has been shown to release wonderful brain chemicals that make you feel good. And, you know, that self-love is really important right now. And if you go to sleep thinking about fearful things, that also does the opposite. It creates the negative neurotransmitters and raises cortisol. I mean, there's a reason that the salmon, when they swim upstream every year to lay their seeds, they pretty much die at the end of that journey, or they do, because of the cortisol levels. Just to make it up that stream, they're fighting that stream the whole way, and their cortisol levels are so high that they die. So that's the one thing you want to really get rid of in doing the sleeping. Of course, with our technology at BrainTap, we teach people how to change their brainwave frequencies to get into that deep state of sleep, and that's through a meditation process that's done through your digital device.
Well, I'm definitely doing it wrong because I'm watching TV right before I fall asleep, or I'm on my phone playing games or doing something word related, and then it makes me sleepy and I knock out. But what I'm hearing from you is I'm doing it all wrong.
Right. When you're doing the words and things, that's keeping your frontal lobe. Your frontal lobe occupies 45% of your brain, and your hippocampus, which takes short-term memories and makes them long-term memories, is processing all that information. It might not even be relevant to your life experience. It's fun, so you're getting a dopamine reaction. But that actually happens to be a beta brainwave, which means that you're awake, alert, and conscious. So we want to make sure that we slow down the brain rhythm. And by slowing down, that's where the breathing comes in. You can play your games. Maybe for you, a half hour before sleep, just turn your phone on some relaxing music. And depending upon the game, I think there are some games that might be all right. But I mean, single shooter games and some of the games that some of the people play are, you know, they're not really good for your brain anyway in the first place. But then to do that right before sleep is not good. I mean, some people do read. If you can do it with a reader, like do it the old fashioned way, that's okay. I mean, you're slowing down your brain. Just don't read things that are, you know, super stimulating.
Right.
You know, you want to read things that are, you know, relaxing and enjoyable.
So I'm typically reading for an interview I'm going to have the next day, or I'm reading an autobiography or a biography. By games, I mean it's just words, doing words, puzzles. So very interesting. Yeah, I guess I am not doing it right, but I usually knock out pretty well, and I sometimes wake up in the same position I fell asleep in.
No, that's good then. What I always tell people is everyone is different. When you said, do we need to get 6 or 7 hours sleep, you can actually figure out how much sleep you need by when you go on vacation. Don't use your alarm clock, but go to sleep at a normal time like you would for work, even though you're on vacation, and then just let yourself and the rhythms of your own body wake you up. And you'll find out that most people need between 7 and 8 hours sleep.
I'm Lillian Vasquez, and you're listening to Inland Edition on KVCR. Today on the show, we're talking about sleep with neuroscience expert Dr. Patrick Porter. After a short break, we'll look at the effects that alcohol might have on our sleep. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inland Edition on KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Dr. Patrick Porter, a neuroscience expert and the founder of BrainTap. Before the break, we were talking about how much sleep most people need and how sleep helps the brain to function. And now I'd like to ask about alcohol. Sometimes if I don't drink wine, but if I have a drink, I sleep really well that night, or I fall asleep. Or is that a false, am I fooling myself and that's the case?
Yeah, you're fooling yourself.
Okay.
It does feel that way. So a lot of people use it that way because alcohol, of course, is a depressant. So it's going to depress your system. Mm-hmm. But what happens is, your brain is depressed, but your body still has to stay awake to metabolize that alcohol. Now, if you're only having one drink, I wouldn't even worry about that. That's fine.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Let me ask about children. Yeah. Is it important for children to be on a sleep schedule as well? Are there guidelines for sleeping regarding different ages?
I think different ages. I think the younger the child is, the more sleep they need. Some children need up to 10 hours sleep still to really function. And you'll know it because if they make it past that time at night, they almost become like they've been triggered, you know, like they become like the gremlins or something, you know. But if they go to sleep, they might struggle at first to go to sleep. But if you have a pattern, and most of the time the pattern is, hey, let's get together, let's read something, let's go to bed, calm down, relax. They'll find out that they'll sleep. And then what happens is it doesn't matter when a child goes to sleep. They typically wake up around 7:30 in the morning. That's because the natural cadence of our sun. Where, you know, if we were still living in caves and, you know, waking up to the light of the sun, we would all be up around 6:30, 7 o'clock. So that's when the light comes in the window, it triggers the brain and wakes people up.
That's why, hence, keeping it dark in there, so for better sleeping purposes.
Mm. Yeah.
Sleep right now during this high stress must be really important because our bodies are so anxious, maybe. So sleep is probably even more important right now than typical.
Oh, yes. Anytime you want to be healing or keep your immune system up, I mean, your immunity is all of that the body, all the cleaning systems, all of the rebuilding of the body really happens while in sleep. Because while we're going about our business every day, we're basically going about doing what we need to do. The body isn't able to repair and rebuild while we're going about our day-to-day activities. So we need to have that time that we can just kick back, get out, get away from everything and rebuild. That's why, you know, rest is usually one of the best medicines.
And when people really struggle, regardless if we're in this pandemic situation or some people just really struggle sleeping, they have different products. Valuable, not valuable, or you're saying some of the skills that you were just discussing might be a better than taking something over the counter?
Well, Dr. Oz, who we work a lot with, he helped to run a study once that showed you only get 5 minutes of actual real sleep from these medicines. Uh-huh. They make you appear to be asleep, but it's more chemically induced sleep instead of it being a real full sleep. Our brain needs to go through these brain waves. So, of course, if you can't get any other sleep, then you've got to do what you do. But the best thing to do is start practicing some relaxation techniques. And as bizarre as this sounds, meditating in the morning is far more important than even meditating in the evening. Because when your brain wakes up, the people that don't sleep well, their brain doesn't wake up in the morning. So the best thing you can do in the morning is actually get up, get outside barefoot if you can on the earth. Because the earth, there's something called grounding or earthing that they've been found to really regulate the body's neural activity. And most people don't do that. I mean, this is the way we used to do it. I mean, we used to wake up, go outside, and start doing things. That's why you always see people doing, like, Tai Chi and yoga outside, is because they know that you get the healing rays from the sun in the morning, and it wakes you up. And we really need to get the brain working again. And that's almost as important. When we work with people at our clinic, we find that we've got to get them started in the morning without, I mean, you can have coffee, of course, and things like that, but it's better to try to stimulate without any stimulant first, to see if we can get our body regulating, because we have all the neurochemistry we need if we can trigger it.
Wow, I must be a walking disaster because I fall asleep and I wait till the very last minute to get up, jump in the shower, and get to the office. So that's just how I go. Let me reintroduce our guest is Dr. Patrick Porter. He is a neuroscience expert, and we're talking about the importance of sleeping well. How does sleep impact our work productivity?
Well, they've actually done studies. If you don't sleep well for 3 nights in a row, you're actually functioning like someone who had a six-pack of beer. I mean, had 6 drinks. So that means if you're not sleeping more than the 5 to 6 hours that they say is good. You know, some people need 7 and 8, like we talked about earlier. So that's going to be a function. Also, if you're not sleeping well and you're driving, you can actually drive as if you're an impaired driver.
And what does, maybe that's it, what does sleep deprivation look like? And does it look different on everybody?
Well, most of the time, you'll see the person, they look very ragged. You know, they look tired all the time. They're not getting the refreshing sleep that they need. And it shows up in their facial expressions and their body posture. They don't have that vim and vigor that somebody who just slept. You know, when you see somebody that sleeps really well, they come skipping down for breakfast. You know, and the other people are all mad and upset because they're like, what happened to you? You know, it's because they got that good night's sleep that they needed. That's where we rebuild our system. We rejuvenate our system during sleep. And if we're not in that we have found that when you slow down the brain waves like you do during the sleep cycle, your brain and body actually collects more energy. And that's where we get the healing frequencies in our body going. And not just our brainwave frequencies, but there's different frequencies in our nervous system and how our brain and body works together. So you can see that if they don't get the sleep, they might be short-tempered, they'll be angry, upset, they'll get just that little thing. They're the person who says, I'm on my last good nerve, you know, because they didn't get they don't have that buffer. When you have that reservoir of stress reduction that happens through sleep, you can take on a little bit more. You have a little bit more of a buffer. If you don't, then you can lash out at people, you treat them poorly. You can usually tell when somebody's not sleeping very well because, you know, most of the time, unfortunately, people who don't sleep well let everybody else know that as well. You know, they're going to make that excuse before anything else happens. It's a problem. It's a global problem. When two-thirds of America isn't sleeping well, and one-third is actually would be called clinically sleep-deprived, that's a big issue that needs to be dealt with.
Well, it obviously must be a big issue, or there wouldn't be so many over-the-counter products that are trying to get you to take them and buy their product to and maybe affect you.
Yeah.
How do you sleep?
I sleep very well. I've been practicing it, though. My dad used to teach a course called the Silva Method, and I use our technology to sleep through the night as well. And I had a problem with that at one time. And the whole thing is, that's why I said sleep hygiene. You have to have a ritual that you do. Even when I'm on vacation, I take my tools with me that help me to sleep well because I know how important it is to reboot. And I also do a reboot session with our brain tapping program right in the middle of the day. Because they have shown that a power nap is really good, so people can get away and do that. But if you can take a 20-minute, we call it a brain tap session, you can actually reclaim up to 80% of the energy from the day. So it's natural for us to go through these rhythms. A lot of people will then run out and get a coffee or some kind of stimulant or eat food. And that stimulant does stimulate you, but it doesn't really fix the problem. It's like putting a black tape over your red light in your car that tells you you need to change your oil. You know, we need to do something about, you know, changing our internal structure.
So it would be better to take those 20 minutes and take a quick nap?
Yes. And if you don't have any other source to do that, then just listen to some nice music, you know, some like classical music, and just zone out for 20 minutes. Just set it so you have 20 minutes with the music, and then when it stops, you'll come back and you'll be all right.
You're just calming your body. Let me ask, does weight matter?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Okay. Tell me about the weight.
Well, what happens when you're not sleeping, you actually slow down your metabolism, and you will gain more weight. Also, cortisol levels, when you wake up and you're sleep deprived, that cortisol is it's going to stimulate the production of more fat because it's going to have circulating blood sugar, and your body only can have a teaspoon of sugar in your bloodstream. Then it has to produce fat cells to protect you from too much sugar. And then, of course, that leads to problems with blood sugar levels and diabetes and things of that nature. But the first step, that's the first warning sign, is gaining weight. That's a sign that you're not getting the rest and relaxation, the rejuvenation that you need during deep sleep.
And lastly, what's your takeaway? What do you want our listeners to know the most, especially during this anxiety world that we're living in with the coronavirus and all the unrest? What's your final thoughts you want our listeners to know?
There is technology out there that can help. You have technology within yourself if you choose to use it to calm yourself down, prepare yourself for sleep. It used to be we'd sit by the campfires, you know, and that's how our brain, the last light we would see is the red and amber light from a fire, and then it would go out, we'd go to bed. Now we have the television or the radio or whatever is going on, or the iPads, the smartphones. And so my suggestion is unplug, tune in, and heal yourself, because it is possible to do that. And that's what we do at our company, BrainTap, you know, so that we'd recommend you seek somebody out like that can help you.
Very good. Dr. Patrick Porter is a neuroscience expert and has just been speaking about sleeping and the importance of it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Porter's company is BrainTap. The company's website says BrainTap can help restore your brain's natural balance. There's more information on the web at braintap.com. Join us again next week for Inland Edition. We'll talk about vaccines with Dr. David Lowe, Distinguished Professor of Biomedical Sciences and the Senior Associate Dean for Research at the UC Riverside School of Medicine. That's next Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 6:30, right here on KVCR. To hear this edition and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/InlandEdition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Search for Inland Edition on your streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of Empire KVCR News and is a team effort with writing, production support, web posting, and editing from Rick Dulock, Sharina Wad, Tim Steidel, and David Fleming. Our social media specialist is Andrea Caravella. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez. Sweet dreams, and bye for now.